Welcome to In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno. Our guest today is Doñana County Manager Fernando Macias. Mr. Macias oversees around 850 employees in the county. He most recently served as the 3rd Judicial District Judge before taking over as County Manager earlier this year. He has served in this position before in the late 1990s, and he has also served as a Doñana County Commissioner and in the state legislature. He joins us today to discuss issues facing the county. Mr. Macias, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure to be here.
Now, I have to ask you, first of all, why give up the gavel and return to county management? I mean, you go from a job where everybody rises when you walk in the room and treats you with the utmost respect to perhaps a position where they're lining up to issue some complaints to you. Why is that?
Well, I did think about including in the contract with Doñana County that every time I come into a commission meeting that they still say, "I'll rise," but I thought that it was better not to include that. After 11 years of dealing with probably some of the ugliest situations in the community, which I did as a district court judge, because my primary focus in the early years were juvenile delinquency and abuse and neglect cases, civil abuse and neglect cases. The majority of my docket was everything from murder to armed robbery to sexual assaults, the worst that you see in the community. And you do that for 11 years. And although it was very challenging, very rewarding, there's limitations that a judge has to live with. You can't make comments on public issues. You can't attend political meetings. There's restrictions that are placed on any judge. So at this point, when the county manager's position opened up, I thought it'd be good to get back into a position where you can be involved in the community very aggressively. You can be addressing issues that the community is confronted with. And I felt that at this point, it was a good change to make. And I believe that that was proved to be the case.
Well, let's talk about issues within the county. What do you see are the most pressing issues that the county faces right now in 2018?
Well, in any polling, any survey of the community, the top issues are always law enforcement. We want security. And the other is paving roads and keeping roads in good condition. Those are the two issues that are always at the top of any survey that occurs. And of course, I'm not suggesting that there aren't some other equally important issues, but if you're asking me what are the two most important, that tends to be the case. So recent activities that have occurred is that there's been a substantial ability to increase compensation for deputies and the command staff, which hopefully will lead to stabilizing the turnover that the county historically had to deal with in terms of individuals going off to jobs that basically pay more, either with the city of Las Cruces or other law enforcement agencies. So that we're hoping that there's a level of stability, a growth in terms of the understanding of the dynamics of these law enforcement issues, more effective law enforcement in the community. And of course, very recently, we initiated an over $10 million road initiative to improve county-maintained roads, to pave roads that belong to the county but are unpaved, and then also to address unpaved roads in the colonias throughout Doñana County.
Now, I definitely want to talk with you more about public safety. However, you brought up roads, which obviously there has been some concern over that in Vado. There's been many concerns over perhaps preventing flooding in areas, you know, in like perhaps Salem, and Chaparral has also encountered issues with that. Where are we now as far as that goes with that funding, and what can residents of those communities, you know, take from this interview to understand what's being done?
Well, there's a substantial amount of activity, and there is a very strong flood commission and flood commissioner that address these issues systemically. So one of the big initiatives that we had, or that resulted from this past legislative session, is that finally the Army Corps of Engineers has made a commitment in millions of dollars to develop a dam that would eliminate the dangers that the community of Hatch and that area would face. However, we had to come up with a $4 million match. And so certainly there are funds that are under the control of the flood commissioner to allocate to these projects. But because of very strong support from some of the local legislative delegation, we were able to receive an appropriation of $750,000 that will become part of that match. We're going to try to see if we can come up with some additional funding out of the legislative session in January of 2019. This will allow the commissioner to apply monies to other parts of the county so that we can have more of an aggressive outcome related to building these facilities that will protect the community from some degree of flooding.
Now, I mean, is there also standards when you're trying to get funding like this from perhaps the federal government and different agencies that a community has to be a certain size in order to meet these needs?
No, I believe that it just has to register with the federal officials in terms of being a substantial project that will bring a substantial benefit to the community. I think that that's historically what it's based on. But because of the limitation in budgets, both at the federal and the state level, you have to get in line and wait for your turn to come up. Well, fortunately, the community of Hatch, or that project, is now at the forefront of the Army Corps of Engineers. But again, there is a local match, and it is a substantial match that we've been working very hard to make sure that we have those funds available as well.
From your perspective and what you've seen so far, how is the county doing with dealing with wastewater treatment infrastructure? I know some may be concerned about aquifers being protected and with that issue. So where are we at right now with that, and what's being done in that area?
Well, one of the prior positions, one that you didn't mention, I was the administrator for the Border Environment Cooperation Commission. We did water and wastewater projects the full length of the U.S.-Mexico border, not just here in New Mexico and Chihuahua, but from San Diego to Brownsville and Matamoros back up to Tijuana. So the topic is very familiar to me. So our big areas that we're focused on in terms of wastewater is in the central part of the South Valley. The treatment plant is located near Vado, but it services about seven different communities down there. And so, yes, there is an effort to try to hook up more individuals, try to make sure that people aren't using septic tanks that have the greatest danger of polluting the groundwater. That was the whole purpose for it. There's another project in Chaparral that we recently received an additional $900,000 in funding from the Colonias Trust Fund that will be used to be able to expand the system down there and have more of the community hooked into that system. But the biggest challenge is that it's not effective to operate a standalone wastewater treatment plant. And I think that the future for the county is to link with the water companies that are in these service areas so that they can be managing both water and wastewater together. That makes the biggest sense from an administration of the facilities, and it makes the biggest sense from the billing services and the maintenance of the facilities. But yes, utilities are expensive. If they age, there are financial and logistical challenges to maintaining the quality of the service.
Speaking of the different areas in the county, I mean, there's so many different communities, especially in the rural areas, we have different communities. How do you feel that county outreach is doing right now to have a conversation with members of those communities? What do you see right now, and what would you like to see in the future as you continue in your position?
Well, certainly what the community wants to hear is that there's going to be services, that their services are reliable, and that the services reach them in particular. There's, I think, a substantial amount of outreach in terms of community meetings. My concern is the level of participation, and then in turn the level of knowledge of what is going on. And it's not a criticism, but certainly people want to know what is going to affect them individually, not so much the community down the street, although I think that they realize that they're in a similar situation. So at least somebody is getting an improvement in their roads, assistance with a number of different services that are provided by the county. But what we have to do, we have community centers throughout the county. We have to use them more effectively in terms of many times we have discussions related to transit and moving people from one location to the other. My view is to bring the services to the community center, which are right in the neighborhoods and much more accessible to people in terms of medical needs, in terms of a variety of opportunities that they're looking for. Be able to access state-of-the-art computer technology, receive assistance, receive training, receive education from through these community centers. And that's part of the goal. That's not to suggest that some of it hasn't occurred, but it's always based on what money do you have available to implement additional services in the future.
I mean, you brought up participation. Do you think that if there was stronger participation, then things like this could be solved a little bit faster? I notice it seems like every week the county is sending out an email inviting people to apply for, you know, different committees and things like that that exist within the county. What do you think? Is that pretty normal to, or do you think that, you know, there should be more participation? There should be many applications and many people wanting to get involved with this. How do you really make that happen?
Well, there's a difference. In everybody's lives, they're overcommitted. And so you do have some people that are willing to step forward to serve in a voluntary manner on a variety of committees that do get ultimately input into the county management and the county commission. And you have another effort that is oriented to trying to reach out to the community to find out what they think, what kind of services are necessary, what are the challenges that they're facing in that area of the county. So in those, there is, from my experience, has been somewhat limited participation. So you always want to see more, but you know that people are very busy. So we look for a variety of opportunities, and part of it is just reaching out to your commissioner, reaching out to county management. We're dealing with emails on a constant basis that are coming in from members of the community who are looking for assistance in some manner, who have questions about the county operations. So from that perspective, we're constantly engaged in the community.
One of the things you brought up was transit earlier. Recently, the County Commission, I know, voted not to expand or increase funding to the transit up to Hatch. What are your thoughts on the county transit? Do you think it's being utilized the correct way? Are there some things or goals that you maybe have with that so that more people may be using the transit?
Right. Well, first of all, that there's a series of advocates and the management of the transit authority that I think are very committed to try to make this a state-of-the-art operation, to develop the ridership that's necessary to help sustain it and to give it its legitimate purpose. On one hand, where I may advocate that instead of transporting people to different locations, you take the services directly to them and you eliminate that transit need. But the reality is you're going to always need a transit system. I believe that the commission again has stated their support, but I have greater expectations. And I think that those expectations are shared by the transit authority, its board, its management, in terms of building up its ridership. And I believe that they're engaged in that. Although we didn't expand the financial commitment that had been made last year, it's still at $350,000. What was left open was the door for them to come in with proposals that really meet very specific needs within the community. One of the biggest challenges related to all of the business development in Santa Teresa is that, unfortunately, and I don't mean this in a derogatory manner, many of the employees still come from El Paso, not here from New Mexico. So why not do that survey of people that are having to drive or will be willing to access jobs down in Santa Teresa if they had a better method of getting back and forth. That would be a real surgical approach. There, from my perspective, is a great need, and we could have people from Las Cruces using the transit authority, transit system, to get down to Santa Teresa for purposes of jobs, and we would be able to expand the number of New Mexicans or residents of Doñana County that actually are employed down in Santa Teresa, where all of the where a lot of the business development is occurring.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time. I do have one more quick question that I would like to ask for you in regards to transit. Do you feel that you're getting enough data with participation on transit and how it's being used and how the funds are being used as well?
Well, so there's certainly data, but in terms of supporting a brand new initiative into areas up to Hatch all the way up to Truth or Consequences, I do feel that there needs to be more of a survey and a better identification of the number of individuals that would truly use the system. I think once that occurs and we see the numbers and they're really workable, I believe that it's something that will occur in the future, the near future.
All right, Mr. Macias, I want to thank you so much for joining us. We are going to continue this conversation on another episode of In Focus. But first, we want to thank you for joining us on this episode of In Focus. I'm Anthony Moreno.